is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Ori.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next up, Change Your Compass with Stacia. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today.
So sugar is extremely inflammatory, and it also creates a weird negative feedback loop in our brain as well, which causes us to crave it more and more. But as far as the inflammation goes, that's why we really want to reduce our added sugar intake. Now, I'm not talking about fruit or anything like that. I'm talking about looking at our labels for the foods that we are eating and going down to carbohydrates and going down below that and the little line that says added sugar. That's the line, that's the information that we really want to look at as far as reducing that amount, because it really does us no good. Our body really doesn't know how to process that amount of sugar anymore. If you look back 100 years ago, the average American only consumed about 5 pounds of sugar a year. We are way over that now as far as our eating habits in the United States alone. So reducing added sugar, number one tip that I recommend to people. And that's really just about being aware of what we're choosing to put in our bodies. The next thing I would say would be to just bring down our processed grains and processed foods. We don't need to be eating as many things that are processed, because in a lot of processed foods there are chemicals that our bodies are just not equipped to deal with either. It kind of goes along the same lines as the sugar question, in that it raises inflammation in our bodies. So the next thing we really want to do as far as nutrition goes is to adequate protein. We all need protein. I don't care where you get it, so long as we have a certain amount of protein to help rebuild our bodies. That's what most of our body is made of, is protein. Balancing feeding and fasting. So we did talk a little bit about fasting, and really that's about meal timing. You know, eating our meals, giving our body the time to process the food and insulin, and then giving our bodies a break before we eat again. We don't need to be snacking all the time. As far as sleep goes, sleep is huge. That is where we do the vast majority of our repair work in our brain and our bodies. If we're not getting sufficient sleep, as most of us don't, a lot of times, we are groggy, we're cranky, and that is where we start making non-ideal food choices as well. And it increases stress, which again also, prompts us to comfort eat or choose things that are perhaps not, optimal every single day.
So in the past, in some of the programs that we've presented, we talk about shadow work. We talk about the archetypal nature. What I notice in myself and in others, if we've had a day of less than best eating or not enough sleep, we can go into shadow. We can go into negativity. We can start getting led astray just by our thoughts. And I noticed this. And so what we need to understand is, what would our parents have said to us when we were acting out when we were kids? You must be tired. Let's get you to bed early tonight.
Yeah.
So that's where that part about sleep needs to come in, where it's so important, because if we're not resting and we've got this we have the inflammatory process going on, we're going to slip into shadow.
Yeah.
And not only could we regret some of the things that we ate and wished we hadn't, but we get into a mindset where we could be spiraling.
Yeah.
So it's another instance where hopefully that could be incentive. Well, that makes sense, because I tend to take a dive emotionally and mentally. I'm very, very tired. I ate this during the day to give me the boost to get through the day,
mm-hmm.
and it really backfired about 8 o'clock at night, and I think the world is coming to an end.
Yeah.
And so it's something that I've noticed in myself, and I've noticed in other people as well. Sleep is mandatory.
Yes.
Sleep cycle will fill in a good healing. Sleep cycle prepares you for the next day for a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
As sun goes up, we restart our routine again, so it really is a chance to start over again with better choices.
Yes. Absolutely.
So that we don't go down that rabbit hole at the end of a day. And we just feel good from beginning to end. And just to go back on what you said earlier, I mean, let's not shoot ourselves in the foot because we've slipped.
Right.
We get another day. We get another start. We get to start over every single time.
Exactly. There is absolutely no point in looking backwards. You know, for me, we should always focus on looking forwards and that next choice.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
So this is a time of year. It's interesting, too, because I have watched people over the years take their bottled water everywhere or their insulated juice cup with them. And it's like we're packing our diaper bag or our food bag every time we leave the house. But that hydration is important.
Yeah.
And so there's the good part to it. What I've noticed with the warmer weather, we're drinking less.
Mm-hmm.
So that habit of having that bottled water right handy isn't there. And I wonder why that is. Because in the colder months, they're all dragging it around. But as I see people come into the office, there's less of that.
Yeah, that is very interesting to notice. And hydration is really very important. And the thing about hydration is, in some ways, it's almost best to try to front load it in the day. Front loading your water, like trying to get, you know, drink your lemon water first thing in the morning, you know, 8 to 12 ounces of that with a half a lemon is an amazing way to start the morning, you know, and then, you know, an hour or two later, you know, drink another 8 ounces of water. And it's important to, there are all these calculations and advice about, you know, how much water to drink, and really it should be based on how you're feeling. But a good baseline is, you know, approximately half your ideal weight in ounces. So, you know, ideal weight, and let's say is 140 pounds, we'd be looking at 70 ounces of water a day. But again, this can also be based off of your activity. In these hotter months, we need a little bit more water. But with that, in these hotter months, because we're perhaps sweating more, we're maybe, you know, drinking extra water at other times of day, is it's really easy to get an imbalance of electrolytes. So if you're drinking a lot of water and suddenly you're noticing like muscle twitches or a little bit of cramping when you don't normally cramp, that means your electrolytes may be a little off, and that would be time to add a very basic electrolyte supplement to your water at least once a day, just to keep, you know, the magnesium, sodium, potassium levels level in your body, because those are very important for heart function, for brain function, for nerve function.
Get the electrolytes from?
The electrolytes, in theory, should be coming from our food. But to add electrolytes to your water, you know, they're really easy products you can find on Amazon or any of the, you know, supplement stores. You want to look for one that doesn't have added sugar. Of course, there's one I really like that's actually flavorless. It's just drops that you add to your water. It's by a company called Trace Minerals. It's really good. You know, it's just super easy. You don't have to really think about it. If you know yourself to be kind of low on the end of sodium, like let's say you don't add salt to your food, that's kind of a big risk as well. So you could actually add a little bit of salt to your water once or twice a day. Just keep an eye on it, like look for signs of, are you suddenly, you know, feeling funky? Then you want to like really think about how much water you've had, what you've been eating that could be contributing or not contributing to mineral balance, and then go from there.
So when somebody is craving salt, what does that mean? What's the body saying?
The body is saying that it needs salt, honestly enough. You know, there are other factors, you know, driving that can drive cravings. But in the summer months, you know, it could be that you just sweat a lot. And that's how we excrete a lot of our electrolytes, especially sodium, is through the skin. I don't know if you've ever, like, come away, like, from a time outside and you've gotten a little sweaty and you dry and you feel like a powder on yourself, that's mm-hmm. salt. You know, I'm a salty sweater, and so I have to make sure that I get extra salt in my water or on my food. Now, if you don't, if you're not a sweaty salter, or a salty sweater, then it's probably not as big an issue, but potassium and magnesium are also very, very important. Magnesium you can supplement separately, but I do not recommend supplementing potassium on its own. That can stop your heart if you get the wrong dose. So you always want to have that in a blend with the magnesium and sodium.
What food can we go to for potassium?
Avocados, bananas, various nuts and seeds also are very, very good in potassium, legumes. Also your green leafy vegetables.
Okay. So let's go to my favorite part, which is cravings.
Yeah.
And I touched earlier on in our conversation that there's an element of entitlement to
yes.
craving. But let's talk about the physical cravings and what that means. We can get to the mental and the emotional as we go along, but there are cravings like yearning is your soul talking to you, cravings for certain food is your body talking to
yes,
you.
Absolutely.
And what is that?
So a lot of times, if cravings are coming from your physical body saying it needs something, it's usually a micronutrient or a mineral, like magnesium. A lot of times, like people who crave chocolate are deficient in magnesium. Magnesium, in fact, is like one of the most common deficiencies because we just don't get it in our food anymore because of the depletion in our soil. So plants no longer have the same amount of magnesium that they would have had 100 years ago. Other, you know, cravings, you know, most of them can be based off of micronutrients because processed foods just do not have the levels that we need physically anymore. And one of the things that I do, like before I tell anybody to take away foods, what might not be optimal, is to add back these foods that are richer in micronutrients, like your dark leafy greens, like your avocados, you know, those really vibrant vegetables and fruits, because they will, you know, you will have a better chance of getting more micronutrients the more you add those foods in, and that it can actually offset your desire or cravings for these processed foods that you think are satisfying your cravings but really aren't.
So we can't read a label when we go into the restaurants.
Right.
We can't read a label going through the drive-thru. They do put calorie counts now on the drive-thru window.
Thankfully.
Some people don't want anything, you know, don't want their meal through a window.
Right.
And so they're doing less and less of that. But what is it that these fast food companies are doing to create the craving in us to keep us coming back?
They are exploiting a very basic physiological brain chemistry element in the human body, which is combining fat, salt, and sugar. Those, like individually, those three things, you know, they're not bad. Honey can be good for you. You know, healthy fats are good for you. Salt is obviously essential for life. But when you combine all three together in a highly processed form with your white flour buns and, you know, crispy, tasty yumminess, they're playing off of the chemistry in the brain that causes, you know, a dopamine response, which is akin to an addiction response. So our brains actually say, ooh, that was really good. I want more of that. And so it creates this feedback loop. Okay, well, I'm not feeling so great now. I want more of that thing that we had yesterday that satisfied all these yummy flavors on our tongue and gave me the hit in my brain. So it will happen over and over and over again because we've, you know, especially if we're looking at food as a reward, we're like, ooh, I had a bad day, so I'm going to eat the Doritos. And then you do it again and again. And so our brain gets used to that flavor combination, the salt, the fat, the sugar even, and it just keeps replaying. I don't feel good. I'm going to eat this yummy, tasty food that made me feel better. And then back around we go.
What can you tell us about the diet sodas? The diet sodas, that's something that I see people drinking in large amounts, and they're not thin. It's not working.
It's not working. It's actually, it backfires big time. Because again, the brain is intimately involved with what we put into our bodies. So when our taste buds, our taste receptors say, ooh, sweet, it signals the brain and the body to expect calories. And so it amps up the insulin production, because the moment something hits your tongue, your pancreas says, okay, time to work. And so when it doesn't receive the calories from the sugar, supposedly sugary beverage you're drinking, things just go wrong. You know, you have this insulin floating around going, what am I doing? And then you eat. Because your body is saying, I need calories. Like, what happened here? I was expecting something. So it's not, you know, necessarily the drink itself that's causing people to gain weight. It's the fact that your body was expecting calories and the body says, we need to eat now. So then you end up eating more despite this diet drink.
So we've really got it backwards.
We do. It would be better to drink the sugary drink in moderation so that your body gets those calories and that the insulin can do something with it.
So the sugary drinks, there's corn syrup.
There is corn syrup.
And then there's real sugar.
Yes.
And I'm thinking of those sugary drinks, and I'm thinking of Pepsi. And I grew up on Pepsi, and the Pepsi with the sugar, and they call it throwback now.
Yes.
But there's the non-diet
mm-hmm.
Pepsi that's loaded with corn syrup.
Yeah.
And there's the Pepsi where they says real sugar. That's my go-to.
Yeah.
I don't drink one every day. Sometimes I'll drink a half.
Right.
But I really enjoy it, and that's where I get that, that was wonderful, and it's some joy.
Yeah.
Talk to us about corn syrup.
Corn syrup, especially high fructose corn syrup, is also highly inflammatory. It is a processed sugar that was never meant to be. It's much like trans fats, where they have chemically altered and highly processed this what should be a normal thing into something that looks nothing like from nature. And our bodies just do not know how to handle that. So many of the things that we eat that have the high fructose corn syrup or the trans fats in them are really foreign invaders to the body, which is what causes that inflammation. And it's, you know, and your body doesn't know what to do with it. And that's why we're getting an increase in, you know, gut imbalance or autoimmune conditions and things like that. It's contributed from these foods that our bodies do not recognize. You know, these chemicals, these high fructose corn syrup and trans fats haven't been around very long. But look how long the human body has been around. We, you know, all these things that we're eating now have only been invented in the last, like, not even 100 years. And our body is not ready for that. We haven't had the time to create the defenses or the adaptations that we need to actually do something with these foreign invader foods. So yeah, that's my take on...
That's your take.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a difficult subject and that will not apply to everybody.
Right.
The imbalance of cancer.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yes.
And some people will say we all have cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they never grow.
Yeah.
There could be an emotion, a hereditary part. It runs in my family. Doesn't mean you have to have it. But the emotions that can trigger it
mm-hmm.
also want that which will trigger it.
Yes.
So it's really a tough loop to get out of. And we work with a number of people here who have the imbalance of cancer. And we work on a mental-emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
We don't fight it. We don't cuss at it. We don't wear T-shirts that say, none of that. Because mm-hmm. that's really an illusion when we start to feel so unwell with the way that allopathic medicine wants to treat it.
Yeah.
And so we're supposed to fight it, thrive it, when we feel so horrible.
Right.
So that's a long way of saying that the emotions that lead to the imbalance are also the ones that call for the parts, the sugar, the imbalances, the processed foods that contribute to the cancer.
Yes.
So cancer really is avoidable.
It could be, yes.
It could be by being good spiritual hygiene.
Yes.
Obviously the things we're talking about today, avoiding certain foods, inflammatory foods,
mm-hmm.
sugar will feed cancer.
Yeah.
You have to be of a mindset and a soul level of consciousness, intuitively listening to your body, what do you need to heal this?
Mm-hmm.
Not beat it, not win it, just heal it.
Yeah.
It's just heal it, because our bodies in homeostasis can heal itself.
Absolutely.
How do we get to homeostasis?
Yeah.
And we can visit that in a moment. But to really to understand that to heal this, we have to be of a spiritual stamina, a soul consciousness that A, can say no to something that isn't good for the body, but B, and very importantly, say, I can heal this.
Yes.
And to support that I can heal this is eating well,
mm-hmm.
exercising, sleeping, soul consciousness, avoiding the rabbit hole. Okay. The woman that was here today who's blown these tumor markers off the chart, her oncologist is shocked.
Yeah.
Is one who she pretty much called her own healing path.
Yeah.
And her oncologist stepped back and said, okay, because she said no to certain things. And she chose joy, and she chose a sense of self, and she said, I'm going to heal this.
Yeah.
I'm going to heal this. And in the end, for her, 50, 60, 80 years from now,
yep.
she's healing it.
Yeah.
She's healing it with that soul conscious mindset, heart balance that leads to good choices, sense of self, independence, and homeostasis that supports the body in healing itself. Every one of us has a body elemental. It's an etheric figure. It's an etheric being that has been with you since the moment you were created. This body elemental has the perfection and the built-in homeostasis. It doesn't age, it doesn't get sick. And it's there talking into your ear saying, let's not do this, how about this?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time watching us disempower ourselves through these choices that are not working. Do we fix this alone? No.
Right.
It's hard. Patterns, belief systems, habits, addictions are hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Good spiritual hygiene, good health coaching, good support system when you're already there and need to turn the ship around are so, so valuable.
Yeah.
Getting this body, this vessel that soul wants to work through, that source does work through so that we can be the light in the world is really essential. So for people who say, I want to help, I want to do this, I want to do that, I have a purpose, to meet that purpose, you've got to take care of that body. So this isn't a lecture about what you can't have.
Right.
This isn't a lecture about saying you can't do this and you've done this wrong. This is really meant to be one of inspiration, coaching, support. You've got this, you can do it. Find out about your body elemental. Ask your body elemental for guidance, for insight, for support. Your body elemental wants nothing more than that physical body to be in top shape.
Mm-hmm.
So you can ask for help and you can seek help with coaching like Jahan can do. We can work with you here at Compass Rose via Zoom, or you can come on into our office. We can determine where your body is now health-wise or imbalance-wise with the BioWell. We can treat you with hands-on modalities. We can work with you on coaching levels. And we can work with you on the biocharger if we're reversing some imbalances that have already occurred in the body. But most of all, we really want you to understand the value of health coaching, because we need information, we need support without judgment. And very importantly, we want you to know that there is a path to turn this journey around. And you've heard the terms, we're going to turn this ship around, we're going to start fresh, we're going to do this. We're going to raise the bar a little at a time so that with the help of people who care about us and can inspire us and can instruct us, can support us if we fall a little bit, then so be it. A client was here earlier today who has been in tip-top shape for a long time. And due to some environmental effects on her body, some things that are happening within the family unit, she's got sciatica, excuse me, all of a sudden, and she's got digestive disorders. So she came in here to clear the field, get on the biocharger. What do I need to do? I need to eat this differently. I need to do this differently. And she left here feeling a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Not what she's doing wrong, but what we can do right. That's what health coaching is about.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Jahan?
I do agree. And it's really about progress, not perfection. And it's about looking forward and, you know, and accepting yourself for where you are at now and having a vision for where you want to be later on. And really embracing that journey for what it is, whether it is 2 steps forward and 1 step back and 3 steps forward. I mean, it will look different for everybody. And to not compare or pass judgment on yourself, but to really embrace yourself and your intuition and your life for you.
So as we get ready to wrap this up, I want to thank you. And like I said, we have an opportunity to do some service tomorrow, so we're not here live today. Reach out to us at Compass Rose Healing Arts, changeyourcompass.com. You're welcome to schedule some time with Jahan. She'll take great notes. She can make recommendations and she can guide you on a journey towards homeostasis, improved health, talk about spiritual hygiene, keeping those fields clear. With a clear auric field, with a clear energy system, we're not going to reach the things that are not good for us. Because, again, your body is the temple. And as I said earlier, there's plenty of structures out there that have been talking about that since the beginning of time. We want to bring that back to our attention in modern day times, acknowledging that it's not easy, but that there are ways and support is here. So as we close, this is Compass Rose Healing Arts. You can find us online. You can find us on Facebook. We've been here and serving our local community and beyond remotely since 2010 and before, as I was starting up out of my home and out of the trunk of my car. But we are a leading edge here in Spokane, taking our business here, our practice, our service community here to the next level as we can serve more in greater and ever-changing ways. We are headed to Shasta in September, early part of October, and we're going to be working with everybody at their level where they are coming from. Come as you are and leave as you will be, changing your vibratory presence, attunements and initiations and healing. We're there to coach and to guide, to assist everybody from where they are to where they need to be and want to go in the days that we will spend together, but really a new platform to start from. So thank you to all of you for tuning in. Thank you for the opportunity to give you some good tools and for me to be able to introduce Jahan to you, a vital part of Compass Rose Healing Arts at Spokane Valley. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in August. Have a beautiful month of July. Hello, everyone. This is Stacia at Compass Rose Healing Arts. We're in Spokane Valley, which is in Washington State, to the eastern side of the beautiful state of Washington. Compass Rose Healing Arts is just what it sounds like, the art of healing through massage, energy healing, source healing, and the other modalities that we have here, which are complemented by our coaching and mentoring. And you're going to meet today Jahan, who's a very important part of Compass Rose. She's been here with us as client, as friend, as retreat companion, and she's also here as our health coach, assisting people through biocharger appointments, bio-well evaluation appointments, and helping them to understand what's best for their body and their mind and their heart, not just the body, so that it all is natural for them. So Jahan's going to talk with me, talk with you, and give you some insight as to what you might do for your life and why you might do it for your life. This is a pre-recorded class that we are sharing with you today, and we're doing that because we've got some incredible opportunities coming up for us on Friday, which we want to tend to benefit so many that we do that. So we won't be taking calls today, but we do know of some really good questions that Jahan has written down for us to consider on your behalf, those that are asked of her most often. And I wanted to say, before I pass this over to Jahan, it's so many people that we know look at what they put into their body as a have to, that they have to do it because they have to lose weight, or they have to get healthy, or for some other reason that may not be their own. And it's the have to where we start to push and we have resistance and we don't want to do things that we don't want to do, and sometimes we can be defiant, and the whole idea to treat our body better actually backfires. So Jahan's approach to that is to take it much more casually, to have an intent based on I want to, I choose to do this, this is what will make my body healthy and happy, and this is what will make me joyful. And that's how we're going to go about what is really our health coaching services here at Compass Rose. And this is available by remote, by Zoom, and on site here at our office as well. So with that said, I'm going to introduce you to Jahan Lambert. Like I said, she's been with us for a long time, as a client many years ago, as a student in our modality trainings, and then very recently here at Compass Rose as part of our team providing service and insight to our clients. So Jahan, I'll pass this over to you so that you can introduce yourself even better than I can. Tell us about your background and how you got started on this path of healthy eating and health coaching.
Oh, thank you, Stacia. So as Stacia mentioned, I've been a longtime resident of the Compass Rose Arena, but really my interest in natural healing and health started a long time ago. I had some health issues growing up, you know, including asthma and severe cystic acne, which, you know, I'm a bookworm. I love researching, so I researched the heck out of that in my late teens and early 20s, and it just kind of expanded from there, where I actually did come to a leveling out of the asthma and cystic acne through natural means. At the time, though, I was working in pharmacy as a pharmacy technician, and it was really disheartening to me to see so many people in the hospital with preventable diseases. Diseases like heart disease and, you know, diabetes and whatnot that are truly preventable by means of a healthier lifestyle, both through movement, healing oneself, you know, just on a mental level, and through our food. And that really spurred me to take action and start learning about health coaching and the different ways we can empower ourselves with our lifestyle to make better choices. So I not only completed certification through the American College of Exercise for health coaching, but also the Primal Health Coach Institute, both of which had very different opinions on health coaching. But for me, that just adds to the scope and variety of strategies that I can offer clients and myself, because I was actually doing this for myself at the same time. Over time, I expanded even further into energy healing through Compass Rose and learning that mind-body connection and deepening that, and that has really enhanced the intuitive nature that I have tried to develop with my health coaching. And it's really that connection between our mind and our body is where we see huge growth in empowering our lifestyles to become healthier.
So that is awesome, and you just taught me something even more about you that I didn't already know, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being a part of Compass Rose and for sharing you with all of us today. So Jahan, tell us, what is health coaching?
Health coaching is really a holistic approach to creating better wellness through awareness. And it's not just by our food and exercise, but it's really through our entire lifestyle, our mental, emotional, spiritual, our relationships, what we choose to put on our bodies. All of that ties together in creating a plan, if you will, for oneself. And it looks different for everybody.
And that's something that I find so different and reassuring, that it has to be different for everybody. So that requires that you are doing some intuitive listening.
Yes.
You are not labeling one size fits all, and here's my very limited menu of how I can help you. You're looking at us as individuals and what's going to work for us emotionally
mm-hmm.
for the win.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, my biggest thing is I hate labels. labeling food as good or bad, labeling our behaviors as good or bad, is really disempowering. It's very detrimental to ourselves, because then we start to look at food or exercise or any other number of things as a punishment or a reward. And that does nothing for us on a holistic level.
So tell us, what is your take on nutrition and lifestyle and how they work together?
Well, I really like to view things as a spectrum, from good, better, best, or okay to optimal. And even for myself, every day is going to be a little bit different. My main things is like, what do we need to support our lives every day? We need food, water, some movement, and some de-stress time. And, you know, and again, that this will look different for everybody, but hydrating, you know, eating our plants, you know, eating healthy proteins, you know, maybe parking a little bit further away in the parking lot to get a little extra movement in for the day, or going full force and, you know, smashing a heavy workout, or, you know, counting your macros. Again, it's about looking at what's going to work for you.
For the win.
For the win.
And you could raise the bar.
Yes.
Each win you get. You're not stuck at that level.
Exactly. And it's about being flexible, too, because we all have bad days. We all have these crazy busy days where our best intentions for eating the salad for lunch go out the window. You know, and what do you do? Do you beat yourself up over it? Or do you just take the next best step with your next meal or your next option? And really, that's what I try to move people towards, is look at yourself as a whole being. And taking the pressure off of having to be perfect and really making it about real life and just moving through each day as it is, making the best decisions for that day.
So this really boils down to having compassion for ourselves.
Yes.
No judgment. No start over, I screwed up.
Right.
But tomorrow I'm going to choose better.
Exactly.
And it's going to be great. And there'll be a day when I raise the bar, and that's going to be great.
Yep.
I may hold the bar here for a week, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
Because it's the full picture that counts, and the win that counts.
Yep.
Some people that come to see us here want to lose weight, and that's a great thing to do, so long as it can be done in the ways that you're talking about. But it also has to be something where it's creative.
Yeah.
Because what we lose, we go looking for again. So if we're releasing the weight, we're releasing the reasons why we gain the weight, we're releasing what is sitting in our energy field and holding us back. It's become an obstacle.
Yeah.
So it's about releasing. Releasing is a voluntary letting go.
Mm-hmm.
Losing is something, I've got to go find it. I lose my keys. I got to go find my keys. So it's all language, and our body and our mind relates to the energy of the words that we're saying to ourselves.
Absolutely.
So how does balance tie into improving health and wellness?
Well, balance, when I think of balance when it comes to our health, it's again, it's like you're looking at your options, right? You know, let's say for breakfast, you know, you did, you know, you ate your eggs and your, you know, green smoothie. Beautiful, wonderful. And you know, and then, at, you know, lunchtime and dinner time, maybe you didn't do so well. And then the next day you do something different, and it's the opposite. It's really about, for me, balance is taking the pressure off of having to be perfect. You know, it's this little slight back and forth, you know, good, better, best, not labeling anything about what you've done for the day.
And watch the words that you're swallowing.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
Because I was going to have a salad today.
Yep.
And ran over with clients. And so I had to make another choice. And
yep.
I went for protein.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good about what I did. It tasted great. It's a chili burger, for those of you who are interested, without the bun. But when we choose that hot fudge sundae, for example, the last thing we want you to say to yourself is, I'm going to hate myself for this in the morning. Please don't do that. Because that is what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
But if we take in whatever food choice we have, whatever joyful experience of food intake, and for me that would be ice cream. I love ice cream. I never overeat. I just never have. I'm comfortable stopping at a reasonable amount. But when I'm taking in the food that others would judge is not good for me, I'm loving it, and I'm loving myself, and that's the food that I'm feeding myself. The words are as important as the food that you're taking into your body.
Yeah, and to add on to that, when we choose to eat something that, you know, maybe subconsciously we want to label as bad, like the ice cream or the brownies, we really have to, again, go back to, why are we eating it? You know, is this bringing me joy in the moment? You know, or am I eating this as a comfort item? You know, and reframing that and then making another decision the next time you're stressed out. Or if brownies bring you joy, eat the brownie.
Because then, joy is a very positive vibration and I want that in my body.
Exactly. Yeah. Food isn't just fuel. I know there are people out there who will say that food is fuel and we should look at food as only fuel. And I don't agree. Food for us culturally is very powerful. Most of our events revolve around food. Our social events revolve around food. And what comes with those social events is connection and togetherness and perhaps a joyful event like a wedding or a baby shower or something like that. And we eat the cake and we're celebrating and that's a happy experience. And that's okay. You know, finding joy in our food, whether it is your spinach salad with a strawberry vinaigrette or the hot fudge sundae, if you're finding joy in that in the moment, that's okay because we're human and we're meant to live and enjoy.
So what would you say about moderation? You might not have me moderate the spinach salad. And I may choose to, and you may encourage me to moderate the hot fudge sundae, which I appreciate. And I would take that for health reasons, not for calories, or you're going to regret that later.
Right.
Just that my body needs more, needs something else.
Right.
Which would lead me to the question, why is it important to listen to our body? I would feel unwell at the end of a day if I did not eat in a better way and it was ice cream 3 times a day. If I overloaded on sugar, for example, my body is going to express that.
Yeah.
And I will listen to my body.
Yeah.
How can you contribute to that?
Listening to our body sends us signals, and we really want to learn how to listen to our body's signals when they're a whisper, because that's when we can make changes easier versus waiting until our body is shouting at us with severe symptoms or disease. So when our body is whispering and telling us, hey, not feeling so great over here, you know, 3 hours after you have, you know, an entire loaf of bread and cheese, which is something I used to do, you know, that's the time to say, you know what, I think my body's telling me something. You know, I don't feel good when I eat this thing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think most of us have had that experience where we have overindulged in something and, you know, yeah, you're sitting there and your stomach is bloated and you're thinking, what did I do? And that's where we have to really listen to our body and connect and be the observer of our bodies and try to make those connections between what did I do to make me feel this way? And that's where the moderation will come in. I'm never going to tell someone, you can't eat hot fudge sundaes. Because I'm not going to tell somebody not to do something that I don't want to do myself, you know. Mm-hmm. Because, again, it comes back down to the joy. If we can say, all right, I'm going to have spinach salad 6 nights in a row, and then on the 7th night, I'm going to have my hot fudge sundae. To me, that's moderation. Or maybe for other people, it would be 3 hot fudge sundaes and 4 spinach salads. It's gonna be a little different for everybody as far as what they can and cannot tolerate. Because that's, again, where listening to our body comes in. I couldn't eat the entire loaf of bread every single day, but I could do it once a week, and I sure did that.
So let's talk about the role of entitlement. which can be very disempowering. And can affect our health as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've earned it, I deserve it, I've had a bad day, so I'm going to eat this because I can. So there's that self-entitlement piece that can be very destructive. And mm-hmm. to me, as an energy healer intuitive, I look at that as, where's the wound? What's going on here? So healthy eating also is important, and the wounds that are associated with unhealthy eating
mm-hmm.
to address, to get to it. So perhaps the end game is healthy eating, but on our way to that is the coaching
yes.
that's going to help us to understand, why do we do that?
Right.
I'm working with a woman just yesterday, and why did I drink 9 beers on that day? I know I'm going to feel badly. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to stay up too late and sleep too late. I know what it's going to do. Why do I do that? And so that's where we needed to go, not look at, well, you're addicted, but why? And so it took quite a bit of time, but we got there. And it wasn't an easy journey to get there, but we got there to understand the root cause of it. So back to the entitlement that says, well, I can have 9 beers today, or I can do this because
mm-hmm.
he wasn't very nice to me, or I've worked really hard this week. To get to that point where it's self-care and a love of the vehicle that is embodying source and expressing source mm-hmm. through us and honoring this vessel that is our body, how does one get there?
That is a very good question. And I think that, I think it goes hand in hand. When you start caring for yourself, you're in a better position to start deepening your connection to source.
Yes.
And I believe in baby steps. You know, when you're in a situation where you just don't know which end is up and you don't know where to start, it's baby steps. You know, it's, okay, today I'm going to have the salad instead of the Big Mac,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I'm also going to add in 5 minutes of meditation at the end or beginning of my day. You know, trying to tie those in a little bit,
mm-hmm.
they will build on each other.
They will, absolutely.
They will build on each other. And, or even just taking it even a step further back and saying, before my meal, I'm actually going to express gratitude for what it is and what it's going to do for my body. You know, starting so small. It's like, I think about, you know, a lot of people will talk about cravings or comfort eating. Or, I mean, there's with health, it's such a, there's such a huge spectrum of facets and avenues that one could go down or one may be experiencing. And, you know, but really bringing it back down to just where you are in the present moment and taking that deep breath and connecting with yourself before you make a decision is where I would start, even before making, you know, the salad or Big Mac choice.
So let's talk again about the body being the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
There are many religious faiths that talk about that. There are cultures that know that that is true.
Yep.
Goes back further than we have history books to express that. Our ancestors knew that this body was the temple.
Yeah.
So putting that into different terminology,
mm-hmm.
when we are not honoring our body, when we're not consistently doing what's best for this body,
mm-hmm.
answering the signals and the whispers of the body, well, we can still turn that ship around a little bit.
Yep.
What we are actually pointing at, I hope I can express this the way I'm feeling it, because I can feel it in my body, and my body wants to say this for you guys. Our body is the vessel, but when we're stoking that vessel with low vibrational food, our body becomes so dense, our intuition becomes dulled.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily have a strong love for self. Our sense of self is off. I say that in quotes, to help you to understand. But we literally cut ourselves off from source,
yeah.
our intuitive nature, our connection to that co-creative process with Source.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies hurt, our heart hurts, and our intuition is dulled.
Yeah.
So with that said, our body is here to express Source through us as us, and we want to keep that dwelling, that vessel, operating in a way, fueled in a way, that allows us to have a vibratory presence that is very strong. Then we are co-creating. We can address health issues if they come up.
Mm-hmm.
We are connected to Source, and the guidance is loud and clear. And then the end game is a healthy body. So healthy body, end game, healthy body. So it's really this beautiful spiraling effect. And then I tend to see people fall off that
mm-hmm.
because the dips suggest to them that they failed. The dip on the spiral is just the chance in the spiritual hammock to rest, evaluate, get up, and with your free will intention, keep going.
Yeah. Continue the up-leveling,
yes. So I wanted to add that in there because eating right, okay, a lot of us are visiting the stores that have organic food and we're looking at caloric intake and we're looking at nutritional balance and all that is great and wonderful and we want you to have that. But I also want there to be an intention. And for those of you listening on this program and other programs, you're all in a spiritual path. So health coaching here at Compass Rose is an aspect of your commitment to your spiritual journey. So we can work with your intuition, we can work with your heart, we can heal the heart, we can heal the human experience, but we also want to be able to heal the physical body and the effects the human experience has had on the body,
mm-hmm.
creating an imbalance so that you can come back into balance, raising your vibration. So it's a beautiful connective game, if you will, of the human experience that is so beautiful. Not always easy. I'm right with you on that. It's not always easy. Several years ago, I was releasing weight and did not even know it. I didn't realize it. And people were commenting. And then I said, okay, I'll try a scale. And they were right. But what I was doing at that time was healing some emotions that were not mine. I'm an intuitive empath. So I had taken on those of other people. And of course, they layered on top of my own. And as those were released and healed, the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, which was laying in weight, W-A-I-T, began to dissolve. Because the weight couldn't go until those things were handled. So the weight was waiting, in other words, for all of that to happen. So with that said, it wasn't something that I set out to do, but I did do some healing around the emotions that were not mine, but were hanging out in my field, and those that were mine. Because obviously I'm living the human experience as well. So let's skip over. We are talking today with a wonderful woman who's her intention and the way she's addressing a recurrence of the imbalance of breast cancer is truly her own Shiro's journey. And her numbers are phenomenal, and her oncologist is shocked. And the things that we're doing with her and the things that she can use here at Compass Rose, including the biocharger and her own means, and she is the healer, and we are supporting that. She decided that she wasn't going to release weight, and she's going to fast for 5 days. She's going to do that because she wants to, but not because she wants to lose weight, but because she feels, senses and feels that that's what her body wants now, as she is seeing a healing and recovery in her body. A week ago, she was having a meltdown, and a week later, her results look great, so she's so glad she stayed in the game. And now she wants to do something more for her body, and she feels called as probably being guided by her body.
Yep.
Let's do some juice fasting. I'm ready for that now.
Yeah.
So talk to us about how that works, Jahan.
So fasting is a really important aspect, can be a very important aspect to a person's health journey at the right time. Fasting puts your body into a state of repair, really. It's called autophagy. So after 24 hours in a water fast, your body is actively going after and getting rid of damaged and diseased cells, and that prompts the body to activate your stem cells and create new ones. So fresh, healthy cells after a fast, more or less. And that's very simplified. But there are a variety of fasts. You know, water fasts are very intense. It's not something I would necessarily recommend to someone right off the bat, and certainly not without guidance and supervision. But juice fasting is interesting in that I'm sure we all love juice, and a pure, freshly cold-pressed juices are like little nutrient bombs. And when you are only intaking, especially green juices, you're getting all of these micronutrients and phytochemicals and antioxidants that, in combination with the lower lack of intake of solid food, it's not only allowing your digestive system to rest, but you're giving your body all of these nutrients that we don't normally get in our day-to-day life. A lot of our cravings come from, you know, lack of micronutrients. And so a juice fast is a really great way of just resetting the body, more or less, and allowing the digestive system to relax a little bit, allowing our body to get into a state of repair, and at the same time, reinfusing your body with all of these great minerals and vitamins that we need for healthy development of ourselves.
And the intermittent fasting, does that vary according to the age of the person who's making that choice?
It can. It more has to do with your lifestyle, where you're at with your sugar intake and how comfortable you are fasting. Intermittent fasting is like the easiest way to get, you know, the benefits of fasting without going like full on not eating food. So it can vary anywhere from like a 12 to 12, so a 12-hour eating window and a 12-hour fasting, all the way to, you know, a 4-20, which is 4-hour eating window and a 20-hour fast, and anything in between. Basically, what we're trying to do is reduce our insulin levels. So when we eat, our body automatically produces insulin that takes the blood glucose that comes from the food, and it shuttles it out to either cells or fat storage. Our bodies, when we eat food, will take our energy that we need to live straight from the food that we're eating. Anything that we don't need at that time gets shuttled into fat stores. Now, when our insulin levels go back down to zero or close to, and we allow that we don't eat again for a while, that allows our body to produce a different hormone called glycogen, which pulls energy out of our fat stores instead. And that's what we're trying to achieve. If we're wanting to use fasting for weight release, for instance, we want to get to that point where our insulin levels are zero, so our body will activate the glycogen to release our fat stores for energy.
That was almost motivating and encouraging. I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm not a dinner eater. My body tells me that it'd rather not eat.
Mm-hmm.
So my main meals are breakfast and then lunch, and it serves me well in the work that I do here at Compass Rose. But by the time I get home, my body says, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy cold drinks, so I will drink water or juice at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe snack a little bit. But I'm really not an eater at night. And that has helped me to maintain the weight release that occurred on this gifted sort of way a few years ago. It never came back. It never came back. In fact, I need to remember, like, don't shop at Costco because you are shopping for one. And you don't need size 10 pants because you're not that and haven't been that. And you got to remember that. So I'm putting a lot of jeans into the dryer. You just have this image of yourselves of what you are,
mm-hmm.
But if you stop and you go, okay, I accomplished that, it stayed with me, I did not collect again those emotions,
yeah.
I do meditate, I do healing work as a living here for people that I care so much about, and I take care of myself as well. So this is a lifestyle that we're talking about, and so when we're talking about health coaching, this is not for something that's acute and we got to do it now. Although that may be it, but we're going to talk to you about how to maintain this going forward. And I am quite committed to having a very flexible and vital body going forward, so it's easy for me to manage these things. It's my commitment to myself and to my personal health. So what we're going to talk about here is, and we hear this a lot, are what are some foundational tips for improving our nutrition, sleep, exercise, and movement?
Okay, so for nutrition, we want to look at reducing the amount of sugar, added sugar in our foods. Not to say zero. Like, I'm not going to be the party pooper that says you can't have this, that, or the other. Because again, this is about still finding joy in what we're eating.